People love him already.
He's got the Rhode Island twang.
The long pass to Moore and a pin block from Martin.
Tune in to Cam's Corner.
He's going to make it here.
Draws the foul for another Rhode Island and one.
Podcast. He's got his own podcast.
It's good off the backboard and in.
On a break.
And we're back, guys. Welcome back to another episode of Cam's Corner, Season 4, Episode 3, Episode 103. Three episodes passing the 100-episode mark. We've had Jackson Stepanian, Paige Messier, another roadie guy right here, Josh Paiva, another reoccurring guest, one of my boys from Rhode Island. Happy to have him back. The last episode, we were just talking about it. Season 2, Episode 40, May 25th, 2023. So it's been a minute since we've hopped on and chopped it up. So I guess first things first, just talk about how you've been and what's been on your calendar this past year.
Yeah, man, I've been good. First of all, thank you for having me back. Yeah. It's a pleasure. Love always being here. I guess lately, you know, it's honestly the same stuff, different day. Just keeping the grind going with men's basketball, making content with them, trying to grow that team social media page, and also just trying to grow my own page too. Really just working on setting up my own personal brand and trying to grow as an individual myself.
Yeah, and like, I remember we talked from the first episode, like, how much we've both grown from the first point, like, we met. I remember, like, we talked about in the last episode how, like, my first ever football game at URI was the first time I saw you. And was that your first time – that was your first time, like, doing videography stuff, right? That was the first time you ever were at, like, an event for URI?
Yeah.
Like,
for URI, yeah. 100%, yeah.
Because I remember you said you grew up a Rhodey fan coming from Warwick. For me, it was the opposite. I was a big PC guy coming from Johnston. I know it's tough to say, but, I mean, now over the years being, like – so in the midst and working with Rhode Island and like the great programs they have, I mean, it's tough not to root for them. But I guess the biggest thing now, I mean, this past season, just kind of recapping from season two when we last talked, was the biggest thing that your brand is based off is like personal growth. And I know it's a lot of things you talk about in just everyday life and how you go about your process, but just talk about your personal growth overall, and then we'll get into like, you know, the ins and outs of it, but how you feel like you've grown since the last time we spoke.
Yeah, I think I think the biggest thing for me is just developing this new sense of, like, self-awareness and where I'm at. You know, I think a lot of times, like, as creators, you're really focused on getting to a certain goal, and you're stuck comparing yourself to others a lot. And I know it's ironic to say that because my company thing is do your thing, not theirs, but obviously as anybody who works in this field, you know, I'm sure you could say the same thing. You know, it's hard to keep blinders sometimes.
Yeah.
And you're distracted by what you see on social media. And so I think for me, a lot of the things that I was seeing was just sort of like, this person's here. How long will it take for me to get there? Which in one sense can be used as motivation, but in another sense can kind of drag you down a little bit. And over the course of the last year, I'd say, maybe since we met, there has been a couple times where I've hit some creative slumps.
Yeah.
And I just haven't posted, or I haven't had the motivation to post, or I haven't had the motivation to, you know, get out and make something new. But I think that since then I've been able to, you know, just find the importance in doing those things and getting out and making new pieces of content and, you know, through different means, like, you know, journaling and writing down my ideas and simply just going and do it. I think that's helped me develop more as a creator and as a person. So, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you kind of nailed it right on the head right there. Like, when you get in the midst of everything and you're like so locked in and you're like, you know, boom, 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 like every day, and then you have like that slump, it's like, okay, how come this person is rocking like that, but I'm not?
Right.
And that's such a big mindset thing. And it's like, how do I get out of that? Like, what are the things that I can do to kind of just get back to like my roots and like where I'm from and how I built this whole, like, you build up your own like kind of brand, like the same thing how I'm doing with Campus Corner. It's like, it's our brand. And like on campus, people would know us for that,
right?
Which is super rewarding, right? And,
right.
Especially like in classes, like when people can take something away from it and be like inspired and away from it, I think that's like the coolest thing in the world. Not that you strive for stuff like that, but to be able to have that, like, again, it's reassuring.
Stuff like that's cool to hear, especially when you don't really expect it, because a lot of times when you're that position, like, you're the one who's saying that to other people a lot. I mean, it happened to me once. I had a buddy who texted me that went to Kentucky, not Kentucky, he went to Louisville, and he texted me, he's like, hey, bro, I've seen the stuff you've been posting, you kind of just, like, inspired me to pick my camera back up. And it's something very, very simple like that, that, you know, makes you feel like, okay, I'm in this for the right reasons. It's more beneficial, and it's better for you when, like, not better for you, but it makes you feel better when you're able to instill that sense of confidence in somebody else.
For sure. Yeah, and social media, like, you can reach it's crazy the audience that you can reach, like, when you think about it at the end of the day. Like, I had a video go viral about a couple weeks ago about Joe Mazzulla. His high school coach was one of the interviewees I had on for the documentary that you were at once I premiered it and everything. But he was somebody I sat down with, and I was like, you know what? Like, now that Joe's at this stage, I didn't really use a lot of the clips. I mean, I used a good amount in the documentary, but I was like, I didn't really use a lot of the clips of him talking about Joe in specific. So I was like, you know what? I don't have, at that point in time when I posted it, I didn't really have a lot of guests lined up. So I was like, you know what? Let me go in the archives and cook something up. That now has like 5,000 likes, like 130,000 views. So it's like, you don't know who it's going to reach or what time it's going to, like, it's just like that.
Yeah.
And the video that I think that you posted, you're probably already going to know what I'm going to say with the Jaden House video that got muted.
Oh my gosh,
almost hit like a million views.
Yeah.
That was this year. So Jaden House is a guard at the University of Rhode Island. There was like a, I don't know how long, like a 20, 30 second clip of just a kind of like a montage of highlights and like a trending sound that was going around at the time. So just run me through that.
So that, okay. Yeah. So that video just kind of spurted. I'm sure you know I'm going to butcher his name. It's ZTX Productions, I think.
Mm-hmm.
He's a creator from Boston University, and he made the video of Otto Landrum, the forward from Boston University. And it's the, he said, "Hi, Mom," right before it. Oh my gosh. If you go to my comment section, I get hated on that clip so much. I had that clip for like a month and a half before I made that mix. I promise. I had that clip for a while. And I texted the kid, I'm pretty sure it's ZTX Productions, if I'm mistaking it, I'm sorry. I DM'd him and I said, "Hey, I'm going to make this mix. I'm so sorry if, like, this isn't me trying to rip you. I'm just, like, I think it's cool." He loved it. He's like, "That's a cool idea. Do it. Go for it." And I posted it. And I didn't expect it to, like, go viral or anything. I just wanted to do it because it looked cool. It was funny.
Yep.
And then it started to, like, take traction and take traction and take traction. And then I got so many hate comments. But I wasn't even mad at it because the more hate comments, it boosts the algorithm and it gets more views.
Yep.
And it hit 750,000 views. So I was like, all right, it is what it is. Hmm. House thought it was funny. I thought it was funny. The kid ZTX thought it was funny. So I'm like, hey, whatever.
And then I saw you had a cinematic reel for Rhodey football at the end of the season. You kind of made a similar one for yourself at the end. And I think it started with Jaden saying, "Oh, I said hi, Mom," in the last one, but I can't say it in this one now.
Okay, so after that first hi, Mom video that we made, every time we were in the tunnel, because I'm in the tunnel pregame, every single game, House would walk up to the camera and say something different every single time. So there was, I have a clip of him saying, actually, I posted another mix of House after that, and he goes, he can't say it. That's just really funny. I had to include that clip in there because that was my favorite reel of the entire season. So I was like, he says this, I want to say hi, Mom, but I don't want, like, whatever. I thought that was funny.
What's your emotions going in the tunnel? I mean, again, you talked about how you were a Rhodey fan your entire life as a kid. Now that you're in the tunnel, and when did that all kind of feel real? Like, wow, I'm in the tunnel. Like, I'm working for this team, and I get to, like, kind of be at the start of these young players' careers.
It's really cool. I mean, like, at the beginning of the season, especially when things are super hype and everything's really new and everyone's just, like, super, super eager to get out on the court and in front of everybody. It's really cool, especially when you hear the music playing in the background.
Yeah.
Think about it like a 2K cutscene. You're in the 2K in my career right before you're about to run out and you hear, like, the muffled sound from the crowd and stuff like that. That's exactly what it's like.
Mm.
And so I'm just out there. It's fun because I just kind of – I don't record with any sort of intention.
Yeah.
Apart from just getting, like, the vibes, I guess. Mm-hmm. So I kind of just press record and I throw the camera in everybody's face and see what happens. And that's where those funny little clips come from because everybody's sort of, like, loose and they're ready to get out there. So I could get clips of guys dancing. I could get clips of guys being locked in. I could get them saying something funny. Mm. You never really know. I think that's the best part.
What's your favorite clip you've made, something you've put together? Well, one, your favorite, moment making stuff, like when you look back and you're like, oh, that was worth, like, working on it for hours and hours or whatever it was. And then two, like, a moment just, like, you were able to be in the present. Because I feel like looking through a lens, like, sometimes it takes you away from the moment that's going on. Like, when I would do, like, sideline stuff and I was the digital correspondent for football, I would watch, like, the entirety of the game almost, like, just through a lens. And it kind of took my joy away from actually being, like, on the sidelines for a football game.
Yeah.
So sometimes I kind of had to, like, reconnect and, like, take – you can't take a few plays off because you might miss something.
Right.
So I guess, one, like, that in-the-moment feeling while you're like, wow, this is sick. And then, two, like, your favorite thing you were able to put together this past year.
I think my favorite thing that I put – I'll start with that second question. The favorite thing I think I put together from the year – was probably our runout video, which is funny because I never got to see it because I was in the tunnel every time.
Yep.
But our runout video I think was cool because I had to make that. I had to come up with the idea for it, shoot it, edit it, produce it, direct it all in one day. It was just like a last second thing.
One day?
I did it all in one day.
What do you mean? Like you put it together in one
day? I was told I had to make the video.
Like on game day?
The video. Not on game day. It was a couple days before for a game. I think maybe not. Maybe.
Oh, so they didn't have this idea until like a few days before the opener?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, wow.
So I had to literally, again, write it, come up with the idea, find the song, produce it, direct it, shoot it, everything.
Wow.
But that was, so I used like a, this is something I'm going to end up using in the future. Sneak peek, I guess. I used cinematic remixes of older songs. I love it. That's what I did last year for a theme. So I used Gangsta's Paradise. And I did like a montage of the guys like putting their uniform on. So they're tying their shoes, putting their jersey on, like tying their shorts, putting the beats on to listen to music. And then it started to like slowly build up as the scene went on. It was like a minute long. And then it cut to them in the tunnel while they were actually in the tunnel.
Yeah.
And then as I had them run out of the tunnel, it cut, and then they actually ran out of the tunnel.
Yeah.
So I think that was a really cool thing for, like, fan experience because it sort of is very personal, and they're very they get to see, like, in the locker room. Like, none of the fans get to see the locker room ever. So to show it in a video pregame and make it look like it's actually a lifetime video, I thought that was so, so cool.
It came out well. I mean, to watch it pregame and to be on the sidelines, like, calling the game, it kind of hyped me up, too, to kind of make sure I'm on my A game because I mean, sometimes, like, the cuts weren't – I mean, no, the cuts were great because it went to black, like, and it just came back out. So every time it was, like, the best. And, like, after the anthem, like, as being a part of it, it's just – it hypes you up.
It's cool,
like,
yeah.
that makes the moment to start the game.
Yeah.
But the second part to that, like, your favorite thing you've ever put together this past year. So, well, like, that was your – oh, no, I'm sorry. You just said that.
Yeah, so the first question was the my favorite, like, moment.
So now, like, living in it, like, the first time – or I guess this year, your most memorable moment as far as – like, watching a play and being like, oh, my God. One I can think of is Darius Savage for football, that one-handed catch
on
the sideline. That was sick.
Yeah, that was a great – that was one of the best clips ever, too.
Yeah, but something you've recorded and you're like,
wow, cool.
I got that.
He
had another one in the end zone, too.
Yeah.
Like, he tackled you over, like
– there was Quintero versus Brown where he kind of, like, pushed the kid off and ran to the end zone and then waved to my camera.
Yeah,
that was
cool.
But I guess for basketball this past season, I'd say – I got a really, really, really good clip of Louis Courtright with a jelly layup against Fordham last game of the season.
Yeah.
It was really, really cool. He was right in front of me. He had a nice little jelly layup. I have that. I say Louis' buzzer beater against St. Joe's.
Yeah.
A-10 opener.
Mm-hmm.
That was insane because, like, even though I was filming, I wasn't actually looking at my camera. I was looking at the play the entire time because I was a fan first, which never do that if you're working in this field. Don't be a fan first, please, because you're going to miss your clips. But I got lucky.
Mm-hmm.
House had a really, really cool dunk. House against UMass.
Yep.
House, I think he hit a three on one end. I believe he had a three on one end. Then he ran back, like, smiling, and I was right in front of him as he was smiling. And then he instantly locked in and played defense. And as he played defense, he forced a turnover and then started screaming. And
that was the best.
Emotional clip, and I was right there on the sideline. It's like, ah! And, dude, if I could have 9 more of those clips before I leave URI, oh, my God. They're the perfect clips. And, like, in that moment, there's just so much emotion that was captured.
Yeah.
Simple.
Who are you most excited to see again this year
this
for basketball?
This year? Who am I most excited to see? I'm excited to see everybody play this year. I can't pick one person. I think everybody's got to prove it year.
Is it the same emotion kind of going in every season, like when there's a new squad and it's like you have the same kind of emotions, like just getting ready for the season, or is there something you do to like kind of prepare yourself for the new athletes coming in and stuff like that?
For me, creatively?
Yeah.
I think for me, creatively is, I mean, this is obviously this is my third season, but I think for me, creatively, it's about just showing off their personalities.
Mm.
I think it's more so getting everybody else ready and
hype
and that build up to the opening day that I think is so important.
And then as a fan, is it a little different? Like the roadie fan inside of you, is it a little different than the creative process? Or does that kind of all tie into one when you make stuff?
No, it's tied into one because I think everything that I make is from a fan perspective.
Yeah.
I think that's the one sort of unique thing that I have is having been a fan since I was literally 8 years old. Yeah, I kind of think about what I would want to have seen,
yeah.
A, at that age, and B, now. Mm. And I kind of take that all into consideration.
Is it tough to maneuver through the ages, like the age gap? Because there's a lot of, like, old diehard Rhodey fans. And yeah. then there's, like, the new generation of kids that are just coming in and they want to – like, the kids that come in pregame and they want to high-five all the players. Like, that's all part of, like, an organization. And, like, they're getting their first taste of Rhodey basketball like you did when you were a kid. Is it tough to kind of make stuff – for, like, all ages?
I mean, yes and no. I think there's a point at which it all sort of blends together.
Yeah.
And I think that you can get the general emotion across on all fronts.
Yeah.
I think, yes, there's a way to make content that caters to a specific demographic and age group and stuff like that. But I think the more that you sort of are able to create the content that meshes well with everybody, I think that is what achieves the greater goal of just garnishing that hype and garnishing that excitement for the entire team.
I think that goes back to, like, you as a person and your mindset and how you see yourself getting better and better each time you do something in your creative process and the times that you put out stuff, not only to for Rhodey fans, but for your own personal brand. We talked a lot about, like, moments through this year in specific, recapping from last episode. Talk about something more so of how you challenge yourself and how you see yourself grow, how you saw yourself grow from last year to now.
Yeah. Well, I think last year to now, like I said, I think I'm just a lot more self-aware. I think I've sort of realized, you know, that that I want to expand my creative palette among a lot of different areas. Sports for me right now is obviously the main focus, and that's where I want to work for the, you know, immediate and foreseeable future, but I understand that there's a lot of different other areas I want to get into too. So I think that's where it comes into play for me to try to document myself. That's the biggest challenge I think that I've been doing with myself lately, is just sort of making sure that I can get comfortable with being in front of a camera. Yeah. I'm not used to being in front of a camera. I think the last time I was on here, it was like my first time being in front of a camera.
Really? Like sitting down and being able to talk. Like usually when you're, I mean, now, like, the Day in the Life, those are really cool.
Yeah.
That's a different perspective.
But what I'm saying is last podcast was the first time I've, like, had a piece of content with me in front of the camera. Shared, ever affiliated with my page.
Yeah.
I think.
Maybe. Well,
I don't think I've ever been in front of the camera before.
Well, no, because you used to do those things where you'd go to, like the beach. And remember, like, you were, like, just starting to rebrand, like, do your thing, not theirs. And, like, you would do, like, the stuff like that.
That was after your podcast.
Was it really?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure that was after your podcast.
Wow, so, like, stuff just goes by so fast. that's the start. I guess that was the start.
Yeah. So yeah, that comes into play. So yeah, I think that I'm trying to challenge myself to get more comfortable being in front of the camera.
Yeah.
So I'm making one little cinematic video a week. That's my challenge, is to try to get once a week. I should honestly increase it to two a week, but sometimes things are sporadic with my schedule that I don't really have the time to get out and film myself more, which is not an excuse. You just got to film whatever you're doing.
Well, we got one coming, so.
Oh, yeah. Stay tuned. Right after this. But, yeah, so there's that. And then, you know, I started working with my sister a little bit now, too. Yeah. She does marketing and photography and video content for, like, restaurants and stuff.
So I'm
starting to tag along with her a little bit and get used to, you know, I'm filming, like, drinks and food coming out.
It's different.
It's different. It's very different. I don't know. It's hard, honestly. Really? I would have thought sports is harder, but it's hard capturing food.
The biggest thing, I mean, you had Keith LaBella at URI. He always talked about being comfortable with being uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So, like, that is, like, you worked in sports your whole journey as far as making videos and making, like, taking pictures and whatnot. So, you're used to that.
Yeah.
Like, food is different because it's a different, I mean, I don't know, it's a different perspective, I'm sure.
Right.
The way you capture angles and whatnot and how, like, whatever the process is to that, it's completely different from basketball and from football. So,
very different.
Do you see yourself doing anything outside of those two things to get, I guess, more experience, to get more versatile?
I mean, in the near future, no.
Yeah.
Near future, no, just because I'm really focusing on building that sports portfolio and growing it as much as I can before leaving URI. Yeah. So I think that's my main focus. Later on in life, maybe. Mm. Yeah, like, I'm open to anything. I know my main mission is to work in just creating content, whatever it is. But for now, I really want to see where my journey goes in sports.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see where it goes. I'm determined to, you know, make it last as long as possible, and just take on every opportunity and challenge that comes with it.
Yeah. And I'm not sure if you've worked with any other professional athletes outside of the URI realm before Cole Swider, who was a current guard for the Miami Heat. Cole is from Rhode Island. I had him on Camp's Corner a few episodes ago. And he's just like a great guy to talk to in general. So to be able to sit down, for him to finally give me the chance to interview him, it was great. And I mean, he remembered me from, I remember I saw him like when I worked for Channel 12 in the summer. We went to David Duke's like charity event.
Yeah.
He was playing in that. And the first time I really met him. And then he finally gave me a chance. Like he DM'd me back. And now we have a cool relationship, which is awesome. Two just guys from Rhodey chopping it up. And he's in the NBA. And he gave me like a lot of connections to talk to and create new content. So shout out to Cole. I mean, he's doing his thing in Miami. But you had the chance to work out with him recently, shoot some things for him, and clearly he took a liking to you. We've done multiple workouts. Talk a little bit about that, and I want to know, too, if in your head, because for me, when I do stuff, I kind of, like, look towards the future.
Mm.
When you work out with Cole and you're doing all these things for him, does that kind of make the light at the end of the tunnel, like, even more, like, brighter? Can you see yourself doing that in the future, like, with a player, like, in the NBA?
Yeah.
I know the NBA is, like, your biggest thing.
Yeah, 100%. I think that's one of the main things that's on my mind and my goals. I think that one day I really would love to be able to just be maybe just like a personal content creator for an athlete or a group of athletes or represent them in whatever way, shape, or form. First off, although I will say, though, yeah, Cole's an awesome guy. Cole reached out to me to get some content for him, and I'm working closely with him and his athletic trainer, Anthony Tingley, shout out Island Athletics. Great, great group of guys. They've been fantastic. But yeah, we've been working together, creating content for a little bit. And yeah, it's been really cool. Cole's a really cool guy, and yet like the 8-year-old in me would be stoked working for an NBA player and creating content for them. I think it is just a really, really cool opportunity, and it really does provide me with that. I guess like you said, that desire to work for future players and just continue to develop those relationships down the line.
So they, Island Athletics, or recommended you to Cole, right? As far as networking, so for me, when I try to get guests on the podcast, it's like kind of either like a cold DM or I try to get like managers. And I got a cool NBA guy in the works, which I won't say yet, but I got a cool one in the works. But I either reach out, again, to managers or, like, either directly to these people, if it's a broadcaster, whoever. So, one, you got recommended, which is great, and that's the biggest thing in this field is to try to get recommended, put your work out there as best as possible, because sometimes people will reach out to you, which is incredible.
You never know.
For, I guess, the future, do you see yourself networking towards these players, like, managers? Like, how do you think you'd go about that once that time comes?
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing is Instagram is your biggest portfolio. I think that it's good to put as much work out on there as possible and be able to showcase the types of work that you create. It's big to stick to your own sort of brand and your own creative style, because that's how athletes are going to find you. They're going to want a certain style. And if you can show that that's a style that you create, then they're more inclined to reach out to you. I think that a lot of times in today's era of social media, I think a lot of times it's the athletes that reach out to the creators more so than vice versa. Is it always good to send a DM and say, hey, like, I do this, I create content, and I'd love to work with you one day? Of course. Of course, by all means, go do that. But yeah, I think for me personally, I think it's just getting all the work out there, constantly showing that, you know, the people that I will be working with, and just showing as many pieces of content with them as possible, and just kind of going from there.
Any NBA player, I'm sure you'd be like willing to work with, like at the, you know, the drop of a dime. But if you had, if somebody were to, like, a player were to DM you like out of the blue, one, like, who would your ideal player to work for be, and like, what would your reactions be if you ever got a DM from them?
First off, I could get a DM from absolutely anybody in the NBA and be absolutely stoked. I don't care if you're the 15th man. I don't care if you're a G League player. I don't care if you're the last player in the G League player. I'm happy to work with absolutely anybody. But I guess if I could pick one player to work for, man, there's many. There's a list of many. I'll give you a Celtics player, and then I'll give you a general. How about that?
Yeah.
Okay. If I were to work for anybody on the Celtics and create content for them, I think it would either be Jaylen Brown or Al Horford. I think I'd pick one of those two. Just personality wise, I think Jaylen Brown's got a great great brand that I respect, much bigger than basketball brand that I like love, and I like creating like the lifestyle content too. I think he'd be a great person to work for. Al Horford's just Al Horford. I fucking love him. Oh, I can't swear on this.
No, it's okay.
Oh, I love Al Horford.
I'm not like that high up yet where I get demonetized.
I love Al Horford. I would work for Al Horford in a heartbeat. What was your other question?
Outside general. Celtics. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. You're going to love this answer. I would love to work for Josh Hart. Or Jalen Brunson. Just because they're so...
JB.
Just because they're so funny.
Yeah.
I love their podcast. And I think that they'd just be great personalities to work for.
They have like... I don't know. I've watched NBA players' podcasts and they have like good takes and whatnot. But like they bring... their personalities the time. Like I love Paul George too. Sometimes his podcast is good to listen
to. For him too.
Paul George is a great guy.
I'd love to.
But like Jalen and Josh are like
they're
awesome.
Different. They're different because they're awesome. Like brothers.
Yeah,
they're bicker. They'll fight, but then it's so funny. Dude. Yeah, it's so funny. But yeah, definitely those two.
And now to see Rhode Island guy from Cumberland, Tyler Cole, just got drafted by the Knicks. I mean,
so mad he didn't go to the Celtics, but it's okay.
Yeah. Like, I remember I was talking to some of my buddies that played at Johnston, and we're trying to think. We're like, I mean, he played at Cumberland. He scored 1,000 points, and he was a sophomore. And some of them were like, oh, we don't really remember him being, like, an NBA-caliber guy. But, one, you got to think, we were 16.
Right.
Two.
You're 16. You think you can take all of them.
Yeah, literally.
You think you can take anybody.
But it just proves, like, how hard he had to work to get to that point.
100%, yeah.
I mean, he was a cocky player. I mean, all those good guys were like...
You have to be.
You have to be.
You
and,
have
like,
to be.
He seemed like a cool guy, like, off
it's
the court.
It's more confidence than cocky, I think.
For sure. And, like, we didn't know that because we weren't close with him or anything like that. But any roadie guy that's making a name for themselves, you got to be in their corner. Root for them, especially somebody like Joe. Anybody like that that's on a pedestal like that is awesome to see. But now he's on my favorite team, so I got to root for him.
100%. I'm jealous. I'm going to, like, sneak... Like, I'm a Celtics fan, but, like... I do love the Knicks team that has just been put together.
Yeah.
I'm loving it.
I mean, especially somebody like you that wants to make content. You could somebody like Cole that's from Rhode Island, you could hit him up and then maybe you're around the Knicks locker room or whatever it is the case may be. Like you don't know like where that could take you.
Hey man.
Those Rhode Island ties are pretty sick and a lot of them are starting to get up down there. Like Devin Carter.
Yep.
He just got drafted 13th of the Kings. I think his name's Jack. Do you know Jack? He worked for Slam. He did a lot of stuff.
Oh, Jack Benavidez.
Yes.
He's
the man. I talked to him the other day. Probably going to get him on the pod soon. He's awesome.
He's cool. He's doing great stuff.
Yeah. Oh, my God. But, again, it just goes back to, like, you never know where it's going to take you. So, back to that workout with Cole, or the few workouts you've had with Cole.
Yeah.
Talk about, like, the first one you had with him. And then I always love talking about memorable moments and, like, telling, like, a story of stuff that occurred.
Yeah.
So, I guess one of those, and then, like, the first time you met him for those.
Yeah. The first time I did meet Cole was at that first workout that I went to with him. It was very, very easy. I think that's the thing that I like the most about it, is that he's a very easy personality to talk to. You feel like you're best friends with him the second you talk to him.
Yes.
Like, he's just, like, he gives off that vibe.
Mm-hmm.
So, it was really awesome just to be able to see there and sit there and get content for him and really just watching him work out, watching that kid shoot.
He's good.
Oh, my God. 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. Like, all these threes just – dude, he doesn't even hit the rim. You watch him work out, he doesn't hit the rim. It's just, like, one of those things that's just, like – I mean, you're around watching so many high school, college workouts and stuff like that, but when you see a NBA workout, it's so much –
it's so different.
It's different. So I think the coolest part of just working out with him and, you know, well, I didn't work out with him, but getting his photos from his workouts, it's just cool going back to like his high school and, being able to like see his name on the walls and stuff like that. And, we walk into the gym and like kids know who he is and it's like, oh, hey, Cole, what's up? I think it's just really cool. Cause when you're from Rhode Island, you really just want to see everybody make it. Mm-hmm. And it's cool to see someone who has made it, come back and, it's just really cool. It's like that hometown hero sort of vibe. Just like I said before, just watching him work out, it's insane. It's crazy watching someone shoot that much and just not hit the rim once.
Yeah.
Like, and it's really cool just seeing how locked in the player like that is. And see it from that perspective.
Was it cool, like, seeing him rock your merch, do your thing out there?
So, yeah. Oh, yeah. I had to give him one of those shirts. We did one of our workouts. I had to give him one of those shirts. Yeah, it's cool to see him wearing that, especially just, like, during workouts and I'm taking pictures of it. It's just, I love seeing anybody wear those shirts. But, yeah, it's definitely really cool.
Mm. Do you think he could be a brand ambassador for Pava Visuals in the future?
100%.
Yeah? 100%. That'd be
sick. That's my guy.
When I had the Cam's Corner merch, I do want to make more merch eventually. I don't know when, but I would try, like, Ed Lee. I gave one to him, and thankful that, well, one, you were there, and two, I was able to get him in person.
Yeah.
Very, very few times I've been able to get people of his caliber, like, in person.
Yeah.
Usually it's been people around the area. I had John Hope, who was the former voice of the Friars, the new voice of the Friars, Josh Flanagan. I had him here. Trying to think of other big guys I've had in person. Obviously you, Paige, all my boys. But it's very rare that I get somebody like that's a big name, because, of course, they're, like, not in Rhode Island. They're far away, whatever. I can't wait to announce, like, the NBA player that I get.
That's cool.
Coming up soon. Like, those are, like, the best, like, interviews, and those are, like, the craziest things where, like, again, you talk about how your 8-year-old self would be going nuts.
That's literally, I can't explain it any other way. It's just the 8-year-old self, 9-year-old self. It's just, like, as a kid, you wouldn't ever expect those sorts of things. So it's just mind-numbing, I guess. I don't know how to explain it.
Like, if I was able to interview Carmelo Anthony, like, my favorite player all time, hope Melo's not watching this, but that would be, like, a dream come true. Right, and, like, you see all these, like, you know, again, players that have their own podcast. It's like the podcasting is, like, the thing to do now.
Yeah.
Not saying I started it or anything. but it wasn't, like, as big when I started Camp's Corner. Like, it was, like, you know, there's some podcasts were, like, blowing up and stuff and whatnot. And obviously, like, Logan Paul had his thing. And
everybody's got a podcast.
It's like the thing to do. It's like the new media.
Not everybody should have one, though.
No.
You should have one. You do great at it. Not everybody should have one.
No, I get it. Like Draymond Green. I don't think Draymond Green should have a podcast, but that's my own opinion.
Yeah, don't even get me started on Draymond.
There's so many different people, but it's not like he's going to see this anyway. So, but moving forward with that, I guess we talked a lot about just recently, right now, how you look back when you were a kid, how, like, the moments now working with NBA players, being in the tunnel for URI, all that stuff just, like, brings you back to that core memory of you being little and, like, wow, I would never imagine this when I was a kid. Past and present. So, one, we'll start with, like, the past. Like, your first ever NBA interaction with a player when you were little.
Ooh, when I was little? I mean, I didn't really have any – I didn't really go to games when I was, like, little. I think my first NBA game, I think it was in, like, fifth or sixth grade, and it was Phoenix Suns versus the Celtics. Hmm. I don't think I met anybody there. But – ooh, that was a lot. In high school, I loved Semi Ojeleye. And I think Semi Ojeleye was the first player I got to meet. And I met him at a game, pregame. And it was funny because Semi Ojeleye's not the player that, like, everybody's, like, people like crazy over. Semi. And you see me, I'm at the tunnel. Semi Ojeleye. And he's, like, looking over. He's like, what? And he runs over to me. I take a picture with him.
Oh,
and I was
sick.
So souped. I just love Semi because I called him. He was a Giannis stopper, bro. He was a defensive demon. So I had him. I had a picture with him. And I was so stoked. That was honestly, like, the best thing. And then I met Tatum that day. I think I was more excited to meet.
Really?
I think I was more excited to meet Semi Ojeleye. I got Tatum's autograph on my jersey, and I have it hung up now on my wall. But I think I was still more excited to meet Semi. And Semi follows me on Instagram now.
Really?
I talked to him on Zoom once.
Really?
Yeah. During COVID, I talked to him on Zoom for a little bit. He followed me on Instagram.
Shoot him a DM. We get him on Cam's Corner.
Shout out Semi. Yeah.
Where is he playing now? Minnesota, right? Or no,
he's playing overseas now.
Okay.
Yeah, he's playing overseas. I guess that was the coolest thing. And then, I think that would be.
Like, I know Ray Allen, I know his son played this past year as a walk-on freshman. And Ray was at a few practices. To talk about that, if you can talk about that a little bit and how those experiences were.
I mean, yeah, it was cool. It was cool from the second, you know, that, you know, Ray Jr. got there. It's cool because you're, I guess, working with the son of a Hall of Famer.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's obviously really, really cool. And Ray's a really, really, he's a really cool kid.
Yeah.
He's very, very down to earth. Very, very nice, great guy to talk to. But yeah, it's cool just at that, seeing him in person too. Like, we see him at, you saw him at the games. Yep. You did his first call.
Yeah.
It's just cool to see those people, I guess, in, even in Rhode Island in general. But yeah, so that whole thing, that whole experience was just really, really cool. Especially just being a Celtics fan your entire life. Like, you wouldn't expect a Celtics legend to be standing 6, 7, 8 feet away from you.
It's crazy. And I didn't expect that video to blow up how it did when I did it. But I remember it was like Thanksgiving Day. I think it was the day, I don't know, it was that week of Thanksgiving. I think that's when that J-Woo game was.
A couple days before.
Yeah. And I didn't really put together, because usually every game, so Carl Jimenez is the new voice of the Clippers.
Yep.
I got inspired by him to do, like, the stand-up reels, like, have the game on top and then have myself on the bottom with the closed captions. And I was like, that would be dope to have a few when I'm on the call on ESPN or the radio. So I started doing that a little bit, and then I didn't have time to put those clips together for the Johnson and Wales game. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to make this quick Ray Allen clip, because it was only like 15 seconds long. It wasn't like a big, it wasn't like chopped up clips. It was just like that one bucket, and that's all I wanted for the clip.
Right.
And, you know, I did it in like, I don't even know, it didn't take me long at all. And then I put it on all my social media, and then I went to like my family's house for like dinner and whatnot. So I get in the car, and I'm like, oh shit, it gained like pretty good traction. It was like, you know, like 5,000, like however my normal my videos get, like 5,000 to like 10,000 views. Sometimes not even that high, but then I'm at the dinner table. I'm like, oh, it's at like 30,000.
Wow.
Then like dessert comes out. Oh, it's at like 70,000. And like it went all the way up. TikTok, it was at like 500,000.
Wow.
Instagram, we did like a collab with Barstool Roadie, and that went to like 140 or whatever. And I remember, I think Ray Allen like reposted it. I was like, oh my God, this is like awesome. So like having those guys around was cool. And I'm sure like for you to be in the midst of like during those practices and stuff like that is like so rewarding.
Yeah, it was cool. Ray Allen, he posted pictures that I took of
his, on his birthday.
When Ray Jr. first got to URI, I did photos of him doing like a workout after practice. I took photos of that and I sent it to him, and then his dad ended up posting him on his main account. And I was logged in Instagram, and I follow his dad. Obviously, I follow his dad for years. And I just was like, I took that picture. It's like, oh my God, I took that picture. And just to see it on his page. I didn't get a tag, but I didn't care.
Yeah.
Like, my picture's up there. I know it's my picture.
Yeah.
Whatever. That's just a really, really cool feeling.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, we kind of went through the ins and outs of, like, your creative process, all that stuff, all, like, the NBA interactions, like, the working out with Cole and stuff like that. Going back to, like, your brand, again, Do Your Thing, Not Theirs.
Yeah.
Mindset is one of the biggest things I think we both have in common is just mindset and getting better and all that. But focus is for the future, I feel like, is a good way to cap off. This is your last semester with URI. You're going to be finishing out the season with basketball, so you'll be there for the whole season.
Yes, I will.
So if you're from Rhode Island, you go to Roadie Games, go see Josh. He's on the sidelines. He'll be there. He'll be locked in, though, so I don't know how many highs or waves you can get.
You've seen me at games, dude. I'm, like, so focused.
Yeah.
I probably look like a psychopath.
Because you do a bunch of things. You do a bunch of things at once. It's crazy.
I'm just I say it to people all the time. The people will, like, walk by me and probably think I hate them.
It's like, no, like, I have so much stuff. I just have
such dead eyes, and I'm just thinking about so many things at once.
Mm-hmm.
If I look at you weird, I promise you I don't hate you. I don't dislike you. I'm just probably not even thinking about you. I'm just thinking about what I have to get done.
Exactly. Some people would come up to me that, like, I know, or they've seen, rarely it'd be like they see me from Cam's Corner, but like they can't hear the people in my ear. So if they're like, oh, Cam, we got like 20 seconds, like I don't have the time to do a full conversation at a break when I have 20 seconds to go back and do it on camera.
Right.
So it's like, it's not like I'm not like a big name person at all. Like, you know what I mean? So, but it's not like I'm being mean. I got like a lot of stuff to do, especially someone like you. You got two cameras hooked to you. You go back to the media table. You're doing graphics. It's like, it's all in the span of like an hour and a half.
Right. Yeah. No, I've just been told sometimes I got that death look on my eyes.
Well, you're locked in.
When I'm mid game, I don't talk to anybody. I'm just so focused, but yeah.
Yeah. So again, focus is for the future. Yeah. What are you excited for this season to come?
Yeah.
And then if you can talk about it, what you think, you know, life after graduation will bring you.
Yeah. For starters, I think that this year, for like at least my role in men's basketball, I was really like I was happy with the improvements that were made from my first year to my second year.
Mm.
But I've told everybody this. I don't think it was enough. Yeah. I'm so hard on myself.
So am I.
With the things that I do and, the things that I make and just in every aspect of life that I always think there's some way to, improve. Mm. So I think the biggest thing for me this year is just taking whatever I did last year and turning it up to, another level.
Yeah.
I really want to be able to be, I want to be more consistent in terms of what's posted and when it's posted and the quantity of things that are posted. I want to be able to get more hype engaging content over the course of the season. Obviously, the build up from now, I think we're doing a good job, but I want to be able to take it to another level.
Mm-hmm.
I think the fan experience aspect of it, I really want to be able to, again, like we said earlier, cater to all those demographics and the entire age group of fans with our in-venue stuff, like hype videos and stuff like that. I really want to be able to just really take it to as high a level as possible. Yeah. I was really honestly inspired by the Celtics this year.
Oh, my God.
The Celtics social media team, the stuff that they posted, shout out Gage.
Do you know them?
I've talked to Gage once. Gage, Kate Vaughn. Kate Vaughn is awesome. Her clips, her account is Kate Vaughn clips, but her stuff is so good. Just those Aaron James, just those guys, Brett Hampton,
yeah, I've seen Aaron
those
James.
Guys, just to name a few, they're absolutely incredible. If the stuff that we put out with Rhodey and BB this year can be a fraction of what they did, then I consider it a success.
Yeah.
They are incredible. So that's kind of my main focus. I was really inspired by their hype video this year too. I didn't go to any games this year. I wasn't able to, but I went to the watch party for game 4 at TD Garden, and they played the hype video in the beginning, and I was just absolutely amazed. So I'm going to be taking every ounce of inspiration for this year's stuff and putting it towards that. I think that's the biggest thing. I just really want to be able to create that engaging, fun, dynamic content that is different and will get everybody excited this year. So, this is really, if last year was a year of growth, and this is the year of exponential growth, because I think that the possibilities this year are absolutely endless.
Yeah, I mean, you know me. I'm always going to be in your corner, always rooting for you, always supporting everything. Super excited to see. Now that I'm not at URI, it's kind of going to be like a disconnect because I don't know where I'm going to be. Hopefully it's somewhere soon, but, that's the power of social media though. You can always keep up with people.
You always know what's going on everywhere.
It's great.
Everywhere.
Do you see yourself working for a team like the Celtics and after graduation, or you think that could be a possibility?
I would love to, be able to move up into the professional ranks, but as of right now, I have no idea. I'm really
too soon.
It's too soon, but it's also that's another thing that comes with mindset, is I've been really trying to be focused on staying in the moment with everything.
For sure.
I think that's something that my entire life I've been really stuck on, worrying about the past or worrying about the future. I want to just be able to live right now. I want to enjoy everything that's going to go from right now till the end of March, and then worry about all that stuff after.
Yeah.
Obviously, wherever this creative journey takes me, I'm ready for it. And I'm really excited to see where that might be, whether it's I don't know, it could be anywhere. I can't say anywhere, because I could be, and I'd go to NFL, MLB, NBA, college, stay in college, stay here, go somewhere else. I have no
idea. It's all about the journey, man.
It's all about the journey. And I'm fully ready to do anything. I'll move, I'll relocate, I'll go anywhere, man.
Same thing, man. I don't know, again, where my journey's going to start as far as the professional
aspect. Your journey's already started, bro.
Right, exactly. I told my dad that the other day.
Your journey has started a while ago.
He's like, the journey hasn't started yet. And I'm like, no, it has, but not at the professional level yet.
Right.
So all that experience obviously didn't go to waste. It's it's building me up to start and make money.
Yeah.
I'm willing to move. I mean, when I talk to you, it always makes my vision clear that it's going to happen. And two, I just see both of us in the NBA one day, and I see us reconnecting at this
Yeah, I think we both have a very clear vision and clear mind with where we want to be.
Which is awesome. And you got to surround yourself with people like that. Surround yourself with people that want to see you lifted up, one, and two, that just see a vision. It's tough to talk to people that just don't get why we do what we do.
Right.
The money might not be there as you start out, but it's again, you just said it's all about the journey growing, because then the money will come.
Yeah, there's that big debate about whether you should do certain things in life.
Yeah.
Even if it doesn't generate the income that you need at the time, or that you feel you should earn or something like that. I don't know. But I think I wholeheartedly disagree, and I think that you need to do whatever you need to do at that time to put yourself in the position to succeed. That it's as simple as that. If you got to take an internship somewhere, I mean, I don't even care. I'm about to say this. But I had a class once with a professor who said, never take an internship, ever.
In college?
Yes.
They said that to you.
He said never take it. It wasn't to me specifically. It was just to the class. And I was like, I sat there and I wholeheartedly disagreed. And I was like, why would you not take experience? He's like, he was just saying something about you should never. He's like, you should know your value and know this, that, the other thing. And I'm like, but you need to get experience. Somehow, some way, get experience. That way you can build yourself up in the future. So I think that's the most important thing. Build yourself up. You've built yourself up. You've got the experience. Podcasting, broadcasting, writing, all this stuff. Content creation. You've gotten all this stuff. Build yourself up and you're ready.
Yeah.
You're ready. You have the skills to succeed. Did it generate you thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands? No. Thousands and wealth. Not wealth. Not wealth at all. thousands in skill sets.
Yes.
And just the overall belief in yourself that you can accomplish whatever.
And, like, you can't put a price tag on meeting people, like networking.
You can't.
Like,
you can't.
That just comes out of the blue. Meeting someone like you that's a student and, like, just like someone like me. And then, like, going into the field again, doing free internships that you meet reporters or people that do video, whatever it is. Like, you can be like, hey, like, oh, follow my Instagram and do it. And then they follow you. Shoot them a DM one day, then, like, you never know what can happen.
Experience and networking are the two most important things in this realm of sports.
Yeah.
You cannot underestimate the value of that because it can literally take you anywhere.
And it's a grind.
It's a grind. People got to realize that. You don't get into the industry of working in sports without wanting to be in that grind mindset. You have to be.
For sure.
You have to be. And I think everybody who's in here knows it and would be out of here if they didn't. So that's as simple as that.
Yeah. That's all I got for you, Josh. I mean, wrapping up, like, second time around. What do you think, Camp's Corner? Million-dollar question.
I mean, same thing I said last time. I love Camp's Corner, man. Yeah. I think you're doing a great thing here, and I think that this I mean, you're on season 4 now.
103. Episode 103.
Episode 103 to 4 more seasons.
Yeah.
And I think you got to keep going with it.
Yeah.
Keep going with it because you're doing great, and I respect it.
Yeah, appreciate that. My guy, Josh Paiva. Tune in, Paiva Visuals, all social media. Episode 3 of season 4, 103 overall. iCams One Corner on all social media, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcast, YouTube. You can see our beautiful faces on the screen. But again, thanks.
Blush, bro. Damn.
Yes. Josh, I appreciate you again. Always. It's always a pleasure. Again, tune into Camp's Corner, tune into Paiva Visuals, and we'll see you guys in the next episode of Camp's Corner.